It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with our buddy David Hawkins, senior editor of The American Leader, who formerly worked at The Fulcrum and CQ and Roll Call. So, David, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik of New York's 21st District in the North Country placed a big bet on supporting Donald Trump after being lukewarm on him back in 2016, and it appears to have paid off.
It sure does. I mean, so let's, you all know Elise Stefanik probably better than I do, although in a different way. She's only 40 years old. So to become ambassador to the United Nations at the age of 40, after having vanquished Liz Cheney, Donald Trump's, biggest Republican enemy in Congress, she's now the number four leader among the Republicans in Congress, having essentially helped engineer Liz Cheney's ouster from that position. She has a very bright future. She gambled big. Some would say she wagered her soul on this. I was going back and reading a little bit about her initial campaign before we went on the air. I would say a Trump skeptic would be the most kind way to say it. I mean, she was all but a never Trumper.
Which she said on this show in so many words.
Did she?
She did.
I hope you play that. I hope you play that clip often, because this is the tale of Donald Trump. I mean, she's not alone. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who used to, I once tried to stop him in the hall to get him to react to something Trump had said during the early parts of the 2015-2016 campaign, and he said, "I can't think of any new ways to say that guy's not qualified to be president. I've said it every way I can. I'm not talking to you anymore." And now look where he is. He might be Secretary of Defense or on the Supreme Court or who knows. So back to Elise Stefanik. Right. She has done her chameleon-like transformation. She is all in for Donald Trump. The U.N. position is not a dead end. The U.N. position has been the launching pad for several prominent people, including a couple of New Yorkers. This was Daniel Patrick Moynihan's stepping stone to the Senate, for example. There was another congressman from New York who went on to the Senate, I think. It's not a dead end. It can be a launching pad to the future. And as I said, she's very, very young. So she thought there was talk about her being vice president. She was sort of on the long list last summer. That didn't play out. Donald Trump picked another chameleon-like transformer. So I guess the chameleon-like transformers are the big winners in all this among the Republicans.
For sure. So let's talk about J.D. Vance now. As you say, also a one-time Trump critic and skeptic. And it's going to be different this time around, I think, because we know Trump is term limited here, so he's not running in 2028, which would make Vance the nominal heir apparent here. And I think it's fair to wonder how that might influence the way Vance approaches the job this time around in a way that Mike Pence was not able to.
That's true. I will say I don't want to disagree with you that Trump will not be a candidate again in 2028, but I have not yet heard him say that. And I think this is something that we need to get nailed down as a country. Donald Trump did say for a while during the Biden years that he thought he was owed the 2020 term. And I think that yes, he is 78, and so he would be 82 next time there's a presidential election. But he has not explicitly said that he doesn't want to remain president. And his disregard to this point for democratic norms and even constitutional norms would make me think that it would leave me not entirely surprised if he simply challenges the constitutional prohibition on serving two terms, or tries to allege that that's two consecutive terms, or tries to do something tricky. So I just think that's something to be aware of. And thank you for letting me say that.
Let me stop you there, because I'll just interject here, because we talked a lot about the threats to American institutions that you saw Trump posing. So I imagine that's got to be near the top of the list here in this second Trump term. But are there other things that stand out as possibly being eroded?
Yes, absolutely. He Donald Trump is already, for example, talked to, even in the last few days, about trying to force Congress to adjourn, declare that he has the power to force Congress to adjourn so that he could install people in top administration jobs that would otherwise require Senate confirmation. There is a rule that if the Congress has adjourned, the president can put people in top jobs without a Senate confirmation vote. Donald Trump is saying that he thinks that there's a way around that, and he can force Congress in, you know, to leave the Capitol so that he can install people. That's just one. I think, obviously, we are going to see all of the indictments that he faces, at least, you know, the two federal indictments that he faces, will absolutely go away. He is going to install the word loyalist is challenged, you know, at the Department of Justice. Sure, all cabinet officials are loyal to their boss, but he is going to insist that this next attorney general abandon decades worth of precedent that the Department of Justice run independently. He is going to, he says, and again, this is things that he has said, and I think after 8 years of saying, oh, he doesn't always mean what he says, watch what he does, not what he says, he does most of what he says, or at least tries. He, Donald Trump, wants very much to use the Justice Department to seek retribution against his political enemies. He will move against journalists. It would not surprise me, for example, if he limits press access to the White House, if he tells the Republican leadership of Congress to limit press access on Capitol Hill. Remember that one of his closing lines of the campaign was about, you know, threatening violence against the press corps. So I think, you know, I mean, I think the list goes on. He wants to push the bounds. Every president wants to push the bounds of executive power. So that's for sure. I think Donald Trump will take it to an unprecedented level.
So then to bring it back to Vance, Vance was not in the inner circle the first time around. And so many of those staffers from the first term, you know, they broke with Trump. They were fired by Trump. They warned about Trump in this election to no avail. So who's going to be around in this second administration? I mean, what's the talent pool looking like?
Yeah, that is of course a great question. It is not necessarily going to be only the best people, as he Donald Trump famously said 8 years ago. These will be loyalists. These will be people who understand how to stay on his good side. I think there will be less. There will be fewer people trying to tell him what he can and cannot do. That having been said, his first appointment was somewhat heartening. The very first appointment of Susie Wiles as his chief of staff, she has been a whisperer of Republican candidates of all stripes. You know, she's helped run the campaigns of everybody in the Republican Party from Ron DeSantis to Mitt Romney. She has stayed on his good side throughout the campaign. She has a reputation for being able to sort of absorb and then deflect and then sort of re-steer Donald Trump a little bit. So that is a little bit heartening. But in the main, I think his inner circle will be people who are 100% loyal from the start. No people he's not super familiar with. And that's why I think we expect that the administration will be created, more nominations will be announced, more choices will be announced earlier this time than 8 years ago.
We've been speaking with David Hawkins, senior editor of The American Leader. He formerly worked at The Fulcrum and CQ and Roll Call. And David, when we come back the next time, let's talk about Congress.
Okay.